I'm Bill Lennon, and I'm going to be assisted by my helper, Laura Bergman, who's running up those pieces of paper upstairs, and when she walks back in, I want to identify her again. And here comes Laura, and Laura is a helper, so everybody knows that she's not just some kid hanging around. Just want to make sure that we knew she was helping. And Bree, who is now helping the helper. And we're doing wholesome things, a communication piece, a strategy, a step, some ideas, some things to do on communication. And we're going to do this a little different tonight in that I'm going to get some things started and then slip out and leave you all. And it isn't that I'm bored with me. It's that we're doing a practice thing for a thing with Vespers tonight, and I got the word from the lady that's running it that I have to be there or she will decapitate me. So I'm going to slip over there and practice. And in case any of you want to know, I'm scared to death about doing, what kind of dance am I doing?
Liturgical.
A liturgical dance. I've never done anything like that in my life. And so I am going to get out there and do that kind of stuff. So that'll be interesting, I think. I'm going to touch on this quickly. Actually, we spent an hour on what I'm going to just touch now in 2 minutes, but I just want to give you a little bit of a framework or an idea. I have here a model. In fact, I've got two models of communication, and I'm just going to touch this kind of quickly. One model is to look at communication in four steps, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you're here with a partner, that's great. If you're not here with a partner, but you have a partner, that's great. If you don't have a partner, but you ever have had one or ever will have one, you know, the idea I'm just talking about is someone who it's important to you to talk kind of quiet, intimately with. And the way I'm looking at this is style one is topical or light, easy conversation. And we're not going to spend much time on this. I just want to touch you. Just light and easy. Whether the Mariners won, I'd love to know if they broke that 4-game losing streak. But I've been up here for a week and I see somebody shaking their head no. So, you know, that's light. Or what the weather's like, or did you have a nice hike, and so forth. And style two is a work style where we get things done. And I ask you because I want to convince you to do something. You know, I'm trying to sell you on something. Right now I'm in style two. I'm communicating something with you and I have a goal. I want you to understand. I'd even like it if you'd agree with me, but that isn't as important as I'm in style two because I'm trying to convince you of something. Style three is the I wonders, the philosophical stuff. You know, I don't know, but I just kind of wonder. And the style four is straight talk or heart-to-heart talk. And I'm not going to do anything more with it other than make the comment that where we get in trouble lots of times, in general communication with people who are important to us in some way, is that number one, we don't do very much straight talk at all. That's my supposition, that we don't do much heart-to-heart talk. Number two, that we do a fair amount of what we like to pretend is heart-to-heart talk, but it's really style too. We're really trying to convince somebody. I may be saying, I love you very much, and it's really okay, whichever movie we go to, but we really know we want to go see Jurassic Park. And you know, we're not really talking style two, style four, we're talking style two because we want something. The last comment I'll make about that is in this kind of little model, it's really important to understand that one is not more important than the other. It assumes importance if you don't have very much of it. If you never have any style one, wouldn't that be awful if it's never light, never fun, never easy, never casual, never topical? So that's the only thing I want to say about that. I put a different model here. I've just taken this idea and even made it more simple. And I've just put it in three levels of communication between us and whoever is important to us. topical communication, personal communication, and intimate communication. And to qualify for intimate on what I'm doing right now, it's got to be kind of risky to be intimate. You know, it's more than personal. Personal is whether I changed my socks today. Personal is, you know, you don't know that about me, but that's not intimate. I did, by the way. But one of the reasons it's risky is because I don't have control of it. I'm really down into this style four stuff. I put it out there, and you may like it, you may dislike it. I've given up the control. I've just sort of let it be out there. So there's some vulnerability in it. Now, I want to ask you if you'll just, how could you do this quickly, but try to think in your mind in a given week with whoever is your primary partner or someone that you're close to, in a given week, try to put a percentage on how much of your communication would you say with that person, percentage-wise, would be topical or personal or intimate. What would you guess? How would you break the percentages? Just off the cuff, your guess.
60% topical.
60 topical?
Or 70. Then are 20 personal and about 3 to 4 intimate, and usually then in the heat of anger.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty darn honest. How about somebody else? What would be your guess? I heard a 60 to 70 topical and 10 to 20 personal and then maybe 3 to 4 intimate in a given week, and a percentage of that might be in the heat of anger. What about anybody else? What would you, now not what you'd like to do, I'm talking about what you really do.
I'd say 70% topical, 30% personal, and we don't get angry either. We just
don't hit the third one very often.
Don't hit the third one
very often. So it'd be easy to go a week without much of that, or any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about anybody else, if you'd just be willing to play with those percentages? Anybody else? I got a 50% or less topical, about 20% personal, and maybe up to 30% intimate.
It's not answering your question, but my guess would be that there would be a high correlation over the length of the relationship.
Probably.
Which is to say, very early in the relationship, there would be a much higher percentage of intimate conversation as persons are.
Makes lots of sense. Sure.
To know each other, and then I think that would reduce as you get more and more ingrained into habit and pattern.
Boy, a lot of people are nodding their head. Yes, that makes some sense to a lot of people. Now, only because of time, because all I'm trying to do is get across an idea here, let me ask you, how would you like to have those percentages be? And take in mind what's your name? First
Michael.
Name? What?
Michael.
Michael. What Michael said, that in truth it may well be that you're on a downward slide, you know, that when you're first enamored and just can hardly wait to be with that person and you get goose pimples every time you pick up the phone, it may be that there's more intimate kind of, and it may get less. But what would the percentages, what would you like them to be? If you could just, you know, you get to write your own script. What do you think would be a nice percentage there of topical, personal, and intimate with somebody really important to you?
Realistic?
Oh, no, when it's what you like, you don't have to be realistic. Sure. You'd love it.
Realistically, I would 50% topical and then 30% personal, 20% intimate might be a good
starting
point.
Because, you know, topical is kind of the glue that most of us operate in anyway. You know, you can't get either heavy, intense, wonderful, or heavy, intense, terrible all the time. So she's saying it might be really nice to have a 50% topical and 20%, did you say 20% personal?
30%.
No, 30% personal, 20% intimate. Okay, anybody else? What would you think if you could write your own script in a relationship that's important to you? How would you like to have it?
I would be a little terrified of 20% of conversation being at the intimate level. And I would be one of them.
That includes car repair, right?
I'm in real trouble. I don't know how to do car repair. Theology now.
It's a wonderful, yes.
The percentages just seem way out of kilter to what I'm used to and what I see in anybody else's relationship. I can't imagine, 20% of your conversation is intimate with anybody.
Well, before you got here, folks were saying that what they have happening, I think the highest percent, other than one person, was 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
And
in a good week.
And that wasn't a male that said anything higher than that. Okay? But now we're talking about what would be ideal, what would be wonderful, if you could kind of write your own script. And so now we're talking about some of this 20%, but I'm hearing at least some of us males saying that would scare me to death. Wonderful comment, though. Unless it's about car repair. I can get real intimate about that. Yeah.
I'd say that you want as little topical as possible. I use the topical as a barometer for how the relationship is going.
You do?
Yeah.
So if you get too much topical going, it's not going very well.
That means that everybody is afraid to be intimate. And they can only talk topically. So I'd like to get that lower. Ideally, get that lower so that, because let's face it, if in a relationship we never talk about the weather again, we wouldn't miss it.
That might work at Holden Village, but I don't think it would work at my house when so much of the topicality involves the care and raising of 4 children and a household and budgets. Mm-hmm. So, and some of the topical stuff melds into the. Into the personal as you deal with that, and then usually if there's a sticking point, that's when we tend to become intimate in terms of saying, well, now if you want to know how I really feel about that expenditure, let me tell you how I really feel about it. And I think we're kind of reduced in terms of our lovemaking and in terms of our friendship items. You know, it's almost like we have to get into a situation where we go on a weekend camping trip or out to the beach or up here to Holden or locked into a car for a 6-hour drive, and then we have the capacity to refine and rediscover intimate conversation, because otherwise it's business as usual.
Watch Debbie Strains, that's what we have to do with our kids.
Yeah.
Just put them in a car, that's the only way we really talk to them. Yeah. I mean, if they're middle school.
I think you're getting what I want you to get here before I move it a step forward. Number one, you've got to look at timing, you've got to look at what you can do, and I think it's important to look at what you want in the context of where you can do that and so forth and so on. So we're all on the same page there. In that context, I want to switch it over to a little bit, just a strategy thing. Thanks, Laura. Maybe I put it on. Oh, well, maybe it's going. Good.
You just use your hand.
Okay. You have that little awareness wheel there with you, and I'd like you to pay attention to that. That's just one way to look at and focus on how you're. Did somebody miss one? You're looking around like we missed you.
No, I just don't have a writing anything.
Oh, you don't need to write.
Oh.
Just need to look at it.
Okay.
And what I want to do here is, Bree and I are going to have a little conversation, and I want you to pay some attention to the pieces that you see. Pay attention to the pieces that you see. That would have been good if they could have written there, but not now. Oh, I think it would take time. Maybe not if they're right here.
There's a pencil back
here. And they are.
Here's one.
Okay, pass these amongst the crowd, Laura. Now, as we talk through something for just a few minutes, a very few minutes, I want you to see. Because what I'm trying to get across here now is the difference in the steps, that's all. If we've picked a topic that's interesting to you, that's too bad. Because really, we're trying to teach the tool, not the topic. But we're going to do the topic a little bit, and we're going to ask you to do the topic a little bit. And I don't really care who wins or loses on the topic, although it is one that I have a lot of interest in. But I want you to look at, when we're talking, how much of it is sense data, where somebody said, I see, or I hear, or I feel, and how much it is it when we're talking, where one of us says, I think, and how much of it when somebody says, I feel, just make little comments in the block, this for there. And when one of us says something that we want, or one of us says something that we'll do, and we're going to have you do a piece of that. Does that make some sense? Okay. Are we up? And you didn't get one of the papers, did you? Let's see. Oh, there we go. That just kind of gives you a little focus. Okay, we'll talk for just a couple of minutes about a topic that has come up, just that we've become aware of in the last few days. Not so much today, but all this week. Who talks, me or you?
Go ahead. You're the extrovert, Bill.
I'm the extrovert. Bree's the introvert. I'm into my topic now, and you're kind of noticing the pieces for either one of us that you see.
Actually, I think I'm going to put the topic in here.
Okay. One of the things that I've been really paying some attention to this week is that I've been coming up here to Holden since 1972, and I've never seen so many kids here. And I knew that that was true not only because of my sense data, because I saw that, but I also asked the registrar, and there were 100 kids here this last week. I've never seen 100 kids in Holden Village. I'm not making that as a statement that's good or bad. I'm just saying I never saw so many kids before. And then I'm kind of paying attention to what people have been coming up and talking to me, and I'm hearing things like, this is really wonderful because this is a wonderful family camp, and it's neat that there's so much for kids. And I'm hearing other people saying, wait a minute, that isn't why I come to Holden. I come to Holden because I want to be enriched, I want to be challenged, I want to be nurtured, I want to heal, and there's so many kids running around, and it's a real, it's kind of a, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, Bill and I have been talking about this now for the last couple days, because I'm here, as you can see, with a daughter, and so the impact of not having programs available for her throughout the day has some consequences for me personally. And so there's been some frustration for me in knowing that Narnia is available from 8:30 to 11:45 in the mornings, but for the afternoons I'm pretty much dependent upon her being able to find other kids to play with, and making sure that the crafts that are available during the 2 to 4 in the afternoon period is something that she's able to participate in at her age level, which is 8 years old, and sometimes the cutoff age is 12. So I've been experiencing a little bit of frustration around not really knowing what to do about the fact that so much of the focus here is on the individual and not on the family being here with a child.
When I came up here a long time ago, I can remember my wife talking to Carol Hinderly and challenging him about that in 1972, and Carol Hinderly saying, if you want something more for the kids, you do it yourself. That's not what Holden is for. This is not a family camp, although we love family.
And I would be willing to do something like that. I would be willing to be a parent that participates in programs for Narnia, and if Holden is more than just a place for renewal, spiritual rejuvenation and healing, but also a place for consciousness raising, then I have a personal philosophy that says that it's important to target people at the earliest age possible so that you have a greater impact on society as a whole if you're beginning to work with kids when they're 6, 7 years old instead of waiting to raise our consciousness in our 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and I get so stuck. I get so many feelings running around inside of me. I feel excited about what you say. I really like the idea of Laura liking this. There's another part of me that says when we were in listening to Paul talk about Sophie's Choice, and I was just really wrestling with those philosophical and theological issues, I don't want to be thinking about an 8-year-old. You know, I really want to wrestle with those things. And yet when we were down in the lift, it was so fun to see 100 kids crowded and just all that energy and all that craziness that was going on. I like that, but I'm not sure that's what I want to do here at Holden. Mm-hmm.
And I know that Holden can't be all things to all people at all times, and so I realize that there has to be some focus and some choices made, and I'm just interested in how this will all evolve, because obviously there's a lot of families that are very invested in spending time here during the summers and invested in bringing their kids with them.
Yeah, I talked to two board people and I heard two different answers. One was, we've really got to revamp some of our programs and really expand more for the families. And I heard another that said, maybe we'll limit the number of kids that can come up. Mm-hmm. You know, so there can only be 30 kids in the village. And boy, talk about two ends of a continuum, both of which I could see some value in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's lots of issues about that. The Holden is different with 100 kids here. Mm-hmm. And that's not good or bad, but it's different. And I don't know what I want to do with that different. Well, let's quit. Now, we're going to ask you to do some stuff around that, too. Could you get some energy around that? I mean, you have some opinions? Yeah. Okay. But could you talk just for a little bit about the wheel? Is that...
Yeah. If you want to go,
I... The wheel? I want to talk about these rotten kids.
No. We don't want to talk about kids. Remember I said, try not to get into the topic.
Only issue.
Yeah, well, no. We're talking about...
the communication here.
You're up.
I'm here wondering where my 7-year-old is
right
now.
I'm going to go dance.
You can see I'm taking care of my 8-year-old by bringing her in here with me now. Rather than getting focused on what the issue is, will you take a little bit of time and try and fill in the wheel that you have with what you heard in terms of sensate data? Thank you, Laura. I heard Bill say that there are over 100 kids at Holden Village this week. That's a piece of data. This is where we're just putting in things that you can hear, touch, or see. Thoughts. Holden can't be all things to all people at all times. That was a thought. Feelings of frustration. What do I want? Do I want more programs? I mean, write down what you heard in the communication up here, just in terms of being able to recognize how this wheel works. And then we'll go and pair up and let each of you as couples either pick a new issue, or if you do have a lot of energy on this issue, maybe you can take it further. Okay, let's just jot down a few things. What did you hear or see happen up here?
I saw lots of kids. You don't like sense.
It's okay, you saw lots of kids.
No, I mean, that's, he made that statement, I saw lots of kids.
Uh-huh.
He heard people talking about kids.
Okay. He's talking about kids. Anything else that you saw, could touch, or hear about this
issue?
The
lift last night.
Okay. I assume you were at the lift last night.
I thought I heard the ambiguity or the confusion in your statements. Feeling torn between various options and having a lot of understanding as to many sides of the issue and therefore not being able to go in. So confusion, perhaps.
Probably down here.
Yeah.
I had some feelings of confusion, torn between two. Sides of the issue.
The sense of he was saying that he had never felt so many kids up here.
Right, lots of kids.
Lots of kids.
You said you were in the feeling of failure, you're frustrated by not enough programs.
Right. Frustration.
there was a discussion of the past when, in 1972, in a conversation with Carol Hinderly at his suggestion.
Okay, so that's probably a...
So it would be under actions.
Actions past.
Yeah. We heard Bill saying that with Sophie's Choice, he wanted to concentrate on the issue, the Sophie's Choice, he didn't want to think about children. That was probably a thought he, or that, or wants, or, I'm not sure where.
He was wanting to prepare.
Yeah, I think you're right. Wanting to stay focused on philosophical issues for adults. No distraction, I think, is a big thing. We gotta get some thoughts, any thoughts?
Well, Bill said he thought some of it was good and some, or sometimes it was good and sometimes it was bad, that having the kids.
Well, he made a specific comment that he thought it was neat that all the kids were jiving up in the lift that night.
Mm-hmm. Neat the kids were having fun. Boy, my writing's getting bad. Okay, did you hear? Think, feel, wants, actions. Actually, we've got something now I read one.
Actions, he said, if you check the registrar.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
As well as talk to the people.
Where would you put the two board members' polar suggestions? Is that, was that action or was
future.
That thought?
Future.
Actually, I think that those were probably thoughts that people shared with him about how they saw.
Yeah,
the direction they were going to do it was a.
It was that they were brainstorming ideas.
I'd have to say that I think that would be an action because he did something that might have some impact. Isn't the thought maybe, I was perceiving the thoughts would be basically listing of data and specific facts and actions when you're trying to do something about it. Or would you clarify that for me? Because for him to go and talk to people, particularly board, and talk about future actions or future things that Holden might do, I would think that would be it.
Actually, technically, I'd say that the brainstorming ideas would go under sense data. It's something he heard someone give him as information. Listing of information goes under sensate. And admittedly, they may take that and utilize it in some form of action in the future. But see, everything in the wheel goes around. So it starts here and it could very well end up in an action.
I think the action was his talking to those people, but their response fell into thought.
And that results in sense data.
Yeah.
Now, this was a relatively benign issue in terms of
are you sure?
Intimate talk. I'd say, where would you put this? Topical, personal, or intimate?
Personal.
Number two. It's more philosophical, it's sharing of ideas, but there was not a whole lot that either Bill or I were risking. Neither one of us got terribly vulnerable with each other. I don't think either one of us allowed ourselves to be open enough to really risk being hurt by the other person, to be willing to maybe go a step further in this conversation and really put out there what it really feels like to be at Holden in the context as a family or as an individual might take it to a deeper level of intimacy. But we stayed pretty much with a philosophical topic here. What I want you to do is to pair up. If you're here with a partner, that's fine. If you're not, then raise your hand and we can pair you up with someone who's here without a partner. And I'd like you to take, if you want to continue working with this issue, that's fine. Or if you have a more, the goal here is to facilitate working towards more intimate communication through the awareness wheel. And sometimes it's difficult to get to all of these aspects of what goes on in any given issue unless we have some sort of a format as we're beginning to practice as to how to gather data in order to communicate it to our partner. So it's a simple tool. The more you practice it, the less dependent you will be on it.
Is the idea in talking about this topic then to go in a certain order or just fill in, you know, be sure we cover the various sectors?
You know, I think that sometimes what people will do, I know because I'm real introverted, because sometimes what I'll find myself doing is I have a lot of energy on an issue. There's something that's just really pushing my buttons. And I have a lot of data swimming around in my head. I'll have a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts. And if I really am real vulnerable about the issue, it's real helpful to me before I go to talk about it, to take the awareness wheel out and begin to get things organized so that I can really get clear about exactly where I stand on the issue. And then it really can come together cleanly, succinctly, smoothly. I know what it is I'm up to, what I'm willing to do about it, what I want out of the conversation, how much I'm willing to risk. The more personal, topical, I never get this thing out. And the safer I am with a person, the less dependent I am on using this.
I'm still not clear though.
Where he should start on the wheel.
I mean, what's the point of the wheel? Are you?
I start with whatever shows up for me first. I think typically you're supposed to start with sense data. Because the natural evolution of the wheel is to come around to an ultimate action.
Because in a previous class he said we sometimes miss some of the
parts
and go directly to something else.
You can. I mean, lots of people will go straight from sensate to what they want. They'll skip over their thoughts and their feelings. Right. And the reason we put them in there is because we really want to support thoughts and feelings.
Okay, nice.
My personal belief is that on the Myers-Briggs, if you're primarily a feeler, you'll fill out the feelings first, and then you'll attach thoughts to the feelings. If you're primarily a thinker, you'll have thoughts, and then you'll attach feelings to the thoughts.
And either is okay.
Either's fine. You can do those in any order.
Thank you.
I mean, there's a lot of people I know you've all experienced where you'll say, how do you feel about something? They'll give you a thought. Or conversely, I'm a real high feeler. Bill says that I'm the only person in the world he knows that he'll walk up to and say, what do you think of this? And I'll give him a feeling. And then after I've got my feelings identified, I can attach thoughts to them.
Thank you, I got it.
Okay. Okay, if we got pairs here? Anybody need a partner?
Yeah.